Episode 4.
Wow.
I'm really enjoying myself.
Same. I'm having so much fun. I honestly don't think I've had this much fun in a long time.
Well, this is my first day back
of
2023.
Yeah.
And obviously, I've tried to tell myself it's the year of giving it.
Yeah.
Give it a bit more.
Give it more.
Give it more.
Yeah. Why not?
Just be better.
Yeah. Just, and we can do that. We've got more. We're still young. We're not Duracell bunnies anymore, but we are young.
When we were younger, we were like, we're Duracell bunnies.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes I do feel really young. Okay. Like I said, I tried to buy a scratch card. So I just wanted to put a scratch card inside a birthday card. Because then if it's a wicked present, if someone opens it and wins £1 million, they've got you to thank.
Yeah,
they'd be like, thank you for that scratch card. I just won 50 grand or like.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I know you don't get many people win 50 grand on a scratch card, but you never know.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little gesture.
Nice gesture. So it was my grandma's 79th and I was like, I'll get her a scratch card.
Yeah.
She'll love it. And then go to Tesco and I'm like, can I get a scratch card, please? In fact, I said, can I just get number 7?
Yeah.
Because it's the bingo one. It's wicked. Yeah. Takes forever to scratch.
People love bingo.
The bingo one.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was like, can I see your ID? And I was like, I don't have it. I've got a picture of it.
How old do you have to be?
18 or I think it's 18 for a scratch card. 18 to gamble, isn't it? And I just went, I'm 29, be 30 soon. And she just went, I'll have whatever you're having. Like, well, I'll take whatever you've been taking. And I was just like, I don't have the ID. I'll show you a picture of it.
Yeah.
And she was like, it needs to be the real thing. So, I couldn't get my grandma a scratch card. Not that she likes scratch. I haven't got a granny that loves scratch cards, but it was just, I just thought it'd be a brilliant idea for a present.
Yeah, it would have been.
Really nice.
Well, it is good news. You look 11 years. You look younger than 11 years.
I wasn't wearing makeup on the day and that's it. Yeah. I've just looked a bit.
You'll be devastated when that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't have a ring on. Wasn't. No. Sometimes I shake the car keys.
I drive.
That wouldn't work somewhere like America because can't you drive at like 15?
Yeah.
Alarming.
So. Alarming.
Alarming.
Yeah, that is so dangerous.
Right?
Yeah.
I knew nothing at 15.
No.
You shouldn't be driving.
You shouldn't be behind a big Volkswagen.
Yeah, you shouldn't be behind a big truck.
Yeah.
You know, like the cars there.
Soccer mom car.
Yeah.
Pick up.
15?
Absolutely not.
15.
Do you know what I always think is dangerous? The fact that people don't have to resit their test every 20 years. Or why people in their 70s and 80s don't have to redo their test. Because I think it's controversial. The older you are and the longer it's been since your test, the more dangerous you are. So why aren't we retesting? Oh, because I would be happy to resit my test now, 10 years later.
I know.
I'm still a fantastic driver.
Are you?
Yeah.
Most people lose one thing. They either they stop indicating.
Yeah.
Or they stop checking mirrors.
I think I drive with one hand a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
I sit really far forward.
Like a granny.
Really far forward.
Yeah.
And that's it. I just sit really far forward. So that's my thing in the car. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. We've all got our things. I do one hand. I always wear a seatbelt. I don't check my phone.
I sometimes hog the middle lane on a motorway. I don't like lorries.
No.
I don't really like going to that side unless I really have to.
Yeah.
Unless someone's behind me, like, get out the way, I'll move over.
Yeah.
But I just like going in the middle.
Yeah.
And I know, isn't there like police cars now that drive through and they say, don't hog the middle lane? They have like a...
Do they?
They have like a magnetic, you know, the strips of like the moving words, whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, don't hog the middle lane.
I've never seen
that. Yeah, yeah, they go on the motorway.
Wow.
And they just put in front of you and they play the message of don't hog the middle lane.
That's so clever.
You have to get out.
People need that for the fast lane as well. The amount of people, because of the lot of driving I've been doing recently, having a boyfriend up north, I notice a lot of people just sit in the fast lane. And I'm like, and they go 70, which is the max speed limit.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be breaking the speed limit, I'll be honest.
Do
but
you?
Sometimes I go 74. I do.
Oh,
okay?
Well, I've never broken it.
But I am like, just get over.
Yeah.
Just get over. But allow me to break the speed limit if I want to.
Allow it.
Allow it. If I get caught, I get caught. And I don't go faster than that. Just 74.
Okay.
I stick my speed limiter on.
Yeah.
So it's like 74.
Yeah.
Because I know that the police give you like 10%, don't they? So technically you could go 77.
Could you?
Yeah.
But if you're going over 80, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And I shouldn't say that on the podcast, but
you don't.
I'm a human. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I do go 74.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You go 74. Would you ever go like 33 in a 30 zone?
Yeah.
Right.
10%, no more.
10% of whatever you are. No,
and
more.
74 isn't 10%, obviously, but I 77 feels a bit fast.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But 33, yeah.
Being in the, I was in the car with one of our friends, and she was driving at 100.
Oh.
It was Christy. I know. I'll say it, Christy. She knows she probably won't care. Wait, maybe she will. Maybe she doesn't. And her mum's friend was in the back. We were hiking. Yeah. Me, her mum, and her mum's friend. Yeah. And her mum's friend went, Christiane, could you slow down, please? And Christy was like, oh, it doesn't really feel like that. You know, because you know when you're in like a modern-ish car, you don't feel it's going that quickly.
No, you don't.
Quickly.
Well, to be fair, when my speed limiter hasn't been on and I thought it has, occasionally it has drifted up. And then I've been like, oh my gosh, how long have I been going this speed for? I didn't realise.
Yeah.
So I get it. Especially if the motorway's a bit empty because you've got no one to compare to.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's busy, you sort of know how fast you're going.
Yeah. Blimey.
God, motorways.
Motorways. Aren't they crazy? How do we get onto motorways? Being 15, being underage, driving.
Driving.
But
what
actually,
we want to talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about age because a lot of people get to sort of this age now, late 20s, early 30s, and they panic.
Yeah.
Panic. Is it what quarter? It's not quarter life, is it? Is it? Would it be quarter?
I think it is quarter life crisis.
Assuming you live for.
Quarter life crisis like should be like what, between 25 and 30?
Yeah, okay. So quarter life crisis happens and they go like, oh my gosh, I'm not happy in my job. Maybe I'm single and I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
And I'm not, my life's just not how I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I was reading a book last year, The Secret. We've all read it, let's be honest. If we haven't read it, we've watched the YouTube video.
Yeah.
And there's a woman in it who, there's a story of a woman who was single. And she said that she found the man of her dreams by simply preparing her space for the man of her dreams.
Amazing.
Nuts, right?
Yeah.
So she used to sleep in the middle of a double bed.
Yeah.
And her wardrobe was also full of her stuff.
Yeah.
And she simply read The Secret and was like, if I'm going to manifest the perfect man into my life, I need to clear some space in my wardrobe so he's got somewhere to put his stuff. And I need to start sleeping on one side of the bed. Because the other side's his side. And no joke, she was like, the guy of my dreams, like, what, met him like a week later.
That's so good.
Do you buy into this?
I do, because I had the same advice.
Really?
Do you remember when I paid for a psychic drawer to draw my soulmate?
Yeah. So, didn't it end up looking like you or something?
Yeah.
It was so
basically
random.
Me. But I got them to draw my soulmate.
Yeah.
And then they also told me the characteristics and how I can bring my soulmate into being. And one of the things they said was physically clearing out your stuff. They were like, you need to, if your room's messy, tidy your room, clear out things. They didn't specifically say sleep on one side of the bed, clear a wardrobe. But as you say that, I'm like, maybe that's what the psychic drawer also meant. It was like, in order to welcome someone new into your life, you need to like make space physically in your life. So I believe it.
I think I'm buying it as well. Like if you've got wardrobes of stuff and your space is upside down, you're not operating on the frequency of, there's no space to bring someone in, no physical or mental space.
Yeah. Especially if you're just telling yourself, like, I'm too busy, I don't have enough space, I'm to have a boyfriend or girlfriend,
You know people that go like, I just wouldn't have time.
Yeah.
But you'd just make time, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If that person, if you really wanted to be with that
person.
Oh,
definitely.
Because you would, there was a point in your life where you were like, I'm just going to wait around now for, you sort of started telling yourself that there was no chance.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
It's not true. I think single people say that to protect themselves as well. I do think there are some people, and I did mean it to some extent when I was single, saying like, I'm really happy being single. I'm just focusing on me. But at the same time, I was saying that because I had to do that. What other choice do you have? You're like, well, I can't wait for someone. I might as well just work on me.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a little caveat that single people have where they're like, I'm just working on me. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just working on me. Could be true, but it's an easy get out.
Because I wonder if, like, I don't think I've ever been single for a very long time.
You're a relationship gal.
Through and through.
Through and through.
Like, I believe that you can work on yourself and still be in a relationship.
Yeah, because it was you that first told me when, like, because I had read lots of books and about things being like, you need to like be good with yourself before you can be in a relationship. And I remember you were the first person that was like, I disagree with that.
I was just like, nah. If you want to be in a relationship, go and be in a relationship. I mean, unless you've got serious things you need to address.
Yeah.
like, I don't think I had anything pressing I really needed to address. No. I was just like, well, that relationship didn't work out. And I got into another relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe this sounds completely deluded.
No.
Maybe people will be like, you are everything that's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
But I just thought, if I need to do any work on myself, I'll just do it whilst I'm in that relationship. Yeah. Because where better to learn
in a safe relationship? Yeah.
You know, if you're getting feedback from someone and you're open to that feedback,
yeah,
why can't you just be working on yourself whilst you're also
growing
with somebody else?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought the whole, like, people need to be really single for really get themselves in a good place before they enter anything. No one's perfect. Everyone's flawed.
There's always going to be something to work on.
Yeah. And also, sometimes you need someone in your life that's going to tell you, just cut through the bullshit and be like, your thing is this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go, oh, yeah, it is, yeah. Or maybe it isn't.
Yeah. No, I've read that about attachment as well. I think I err on anxious attachment.
What's that?
Which is, so if there's a potted history, a really quick rundown of it, you get secure attachment where you learn it through your parents, your relationship with your parents, but where you go, I'm happy to be in a relationship, I'm comfortable with intimacy, I'm also comfortable being apart from my partner, and they're just secure.
Yeah.
You have one side, which is anxious, where you go, you overthink your relationship, and you're like, oh my gosh, do they even like me? They said that, they did that, oh my gosh, that must mean they hate me. Do they like me? Like, you feel insecure.
Okay.
The other side is another insecure, but it's called avoidant, where they want intimacy, but they're like, oh, you're too clingy, you get away from me. Like, I want a relationship, but not too serious. Like, they're sort of like, essentially the fuck boys of the dating world.
Right.
And this book says that if you're avoidant or if you're anxious, the best remedy is to date someone secure, because you will learn a secure attachment through dating a secure person. So that proves your point of, like, you can learn and grow whilst being in a relationship.
Yeah. I think as long as you're not kind of putting any of your really... I don't agree with the word, you know, like toxic.
Yeah.
As long as you're not putting anything like negative on that person. You know, people are like toxic productivity or toxic this.
It's just, relying on your partner to heal all your wounds.
Yeah. I don't like any of that.
No.
But as long as you're not like really negatively affecting them, why can't you just learn about yourself and grow whilst you're in a relationship?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some people have a capacity for that though. My partner, he's said that he's a relationship kind of guy. Like, he didn't stay single very long between his ex and me.
Yeah.
And he was like, but I don't really feel the need to go out and date and be single because I met you and I knew I really liked you and that was it.
Yeah.
So, but there were some people might go, I don't have the bandwidth to be in a relationship and take care of myself. Maybe.
Yeah. And also, on top of all of this, I am not suggesting that you need to be in a relationship to be, like, complete.
No.
You know, sometimes... going to be sound really bitchy, but you know the kind of person that like puts something up on Instagram where they're like, maybe they've had like their second kid and they're like, me and my perfect family, we're complete now, married, car, mortgage,
completed kids. It mate,
done it, been there, done that, like, complete, I've done it, I've won the race. No, go to hell. Like, no. You've not completed anything. You're still learning. Every day is going to be a challenge. So don't project that you've completed life and you've won.
Yeah, it's so weird.
And maybe that's my insecurity talking, but I truly believe no one's completed it.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
But I've heard this thing, you probably get this now that you're engaged as well, where society expects the next thing. They're like, oh, great, you've got, like, for your situation, talking to a girl with a boy.
Yeah, when you
get
married.
You've got a boyfriend. When are you going to get engaged? And, like, everything's about being engaged. Finally, you get engaged, and they're like, great, when are you getting married? Finally, you get married, and they're like, oh, cool, when are you having kids? And it's like, can I do enough? Like, why is it suddenly the next step, the next step, the next step? And it's like... Yeah. Can't you just be happy for me in the moment rather than being like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing?
It's like those people that actually trigger other people's anxieties because they're constantly living in the future.
Yeah.
Why can't you just be like, oh, great, what's going on? What are you doing tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah,
what,
exactly.
Not when are you getting married? When are you having kids? When are you? And then they get, after the first kid, they get, when are you getting your second kid?
Exactly. And then apparently it doesn't stop there when they go, where's your kid going to primary school?
No.
Which school are they going to?
No.
And then when they get older, what college are they going to? What university?
Make
and you're
it
like,
end.
Stop.
How do you free yourself of that? Just go, what do you just push them people out of your life?
I guess
or what?
So.
Like, but then it's like, I know people are asking from like a genuine place of interest and they often care and it's nice that they care.
Yeah.
But also just go away.
Yeah, just
just leave.
Leave.
Stop asking.
Get out right now. It's the end of you and me.
Throws the Prosecco. It's too late. Yeah, you're right. People don't stop asking.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that I don't think single people that choose to be single, you know, I don't think you need to find someone to be like hashtag complete in life.
No, definitely not.
You know, I think that
life
is a little
simpler
bit...
when you're single, I think.
You reckon?
I was single for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like in some ways, obviously I'm a lot happier now. Now I've found someone that I love. But life was easier when you just look out for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And all you do is live for yourself and no one else. You don't have anyone else to worry about. And you're just by yourself.
Yeah, you just like living your... did you have your dog then?
Yeah.
You had your dog, yeah. So you were just worrying about you.
Yeah, me and the dog.
And your dog.
And that was it. But then you can't account for the loneliness. I definitely still was lonely. You
felt lonely.
But it's like a lose-lose, really, isn't it?
What's... You're like, oh, now I've got to fill my diary with your
stuff.
Well,
exactly. Well, it's also the anxiety. As an anxious person, I'm now like, oh, great. Now it's an extra person that when they die, I'm going to be upset.
No.
Yeah.
You've not thought
that. Yeah. And I've said to him, I'm like, you better not die. Like, don't die. Because now I was before worried mainly about my parents dying and my grandparents and my brothers, the main people really close to me and maybe like close friends. But I'm like, now this is an extra person that I have to worry about.
Actually, it's true, because I remember like years ago you being like, oh, imagine if one of us dies, like the other one's going to have to make a video saying, wow, Leah's died.
I've thought that all through.
You've thought through every bad scenario.
I've imagined me dying and the video of you crying on camera being like, Joel has died.
No.
I've then imagined you dying and me crying on camera being like, how on earth are we supposed to continue? Like, I've imagined everything, which is why I need to stop.
You're anxious.
And like calm my brain down.
Wow.
But yeah, so being in a relationship has opened up a new anxiety of like, great, so now if he dies, I'll be devastated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Like, there's definitely that feeling, isn't there, of going... When I lose, I've not thought about it like immediately, but I have definitely thought into the very far future, like one of us will die first.
Yeah.
I've thought about it happening when we're way, way older, but obviously life is, you don't know what's going to happen in life to you. And I thought like, oh, I wonder, I've actually said to myself, like, he'll cope better without me.
Yeah.
I won't cope as well without him
because
he's very like mentally strong. And I think he'll like, he'll cry for like a day. And then I'll just be like, back to my routine.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, I'm not saying he's stone cold, but I think in something like that, he'd be able to survive mentally better than me. I'd be broken.
Same. I think we've got a similar relationship. We're both the emotional one.
Yeah.
And they're both, they're coaches by nature. So they're very strong and like, they're just like, can't you just bat that negative thought away and just go, nah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's not that simple.
It's not that simple, is it? It's really not. But on relationships, something I think about is, why is it that big celebs can't hold a relationship?
Yeah.
Why can't the true celebs just have one relationship and see it out? They've all had like multiple marriages, multiple divorces. Or, as I say this out loud, maybe a lot of people have multiple marriages, multiple divorces, but we just only hear about the celebs because they're famous.
Yeah.
But is it not a surprise that many celebs just can't have one like successful relationship?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they just like so in their world that they can't find the value in simplicity?
Probably. Or maybe they're just exposed to more things of like...
More temptation?
More better looking people.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I mean?
More like parties.
More parties, more other celebs, and celebs tend to be beautiful people.
Yeah.
So maybe it's temptation, maybe it's, I don't know.
Because like did I tell you about going to a hotel last year and seeing a very famous...
Yeah.
Very famous person.
Yeah.
All right, I think I should say it was Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay.
Saw Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah. I thought you meant Cameron Diaz, but
No, saw Cameron Diaz. Yeah, so saw Millie Bobby Brown
at
a hotel. And then she was with this boy. I don't follow, I know her, I know she's been in Stranger Things and she's done loads of stuff. But then she was with this guy, and then I went home and Googled back to my room, Millie Bobby Brown boyfriend. And her boyfriend is like Jake Bon Jovi, who's like the son of someone super famous, who's also like an actor and also has millions of followers.
Yeah.
So it's like, can celebs only date celebs?
Wow. Yeah.
Because they only feel understood by celebs. Like, can Millie Bobby Brown just go out with like a 9-to-5er?
Well, she could do, but I suppose that you'd think that they wouldn't fully understand your life, wouldn't you? And you're like, well, at least this other celeb probably is also busy doing their own thing. But maybe that's why they break down, because lots of celebs are celebs because they've got a really busy work schedule. They're an actor, a musician, whatever. They're doing this and that. They're spending a lot of time apart.
Yeah, like David Beckham and Victoria Beckham. Like, yeah. Apparently they never see each other.
Well, exactly.
So it's just like, do celebs only date in that audience pool because they're like, the most important thing is my career.
Yeah.
So you're never going to be top of the list.
Probably.
So get used to it.
Yeah.
And we understand each other and we can be this celeb couple together.
Yeah.
Because I think it's quite sad.
It's really sad.
Because they'll never truly, if that's the reason, then you'll never have a truly fulfilling, relationship where you put the relationship before the other things.
I think you've got to, haven't you? Like, to have a successful relationship, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
You've got to put it before, like, much else. Like, and it doesn't mean you can't focus on the other things as well.
Yeah.
But, like, your relationship, if you want your relationship to work, it has to be a big focus.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've got to really make time to keep it working and keep it alive. And the moment it just becomes like, meh, you're just there and I've got you. And, like, I don't have to work for this.
Yeah.
Or work hard to maintain this relationship. Then it just starts to, like, you know, you don't water it and the tree just dies.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's celebs on relationships.
God, so if anyone's got an answer to that, comment down below on YouTube and let us know.
Maybe there's loads of low-key celebs that do have successful relationships.
Yeah.
But we just don't hear about them because they're low-key and private.
Yeah. Maybe that's the best way. Maybe it's the best mix is celeb and non-celeb.
Yeah.
I was told like there muggles. Can only ever be one peacock in a relationship.
Right. Does that mean like one flamboyant
extra? One that sort of entertains, shows off, the one who's like the star of the relationship,
right?
And then one who is not.
Really?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Which was, I don't know if it was said seriously, but they were like, oh, there can only be one peacock. And my partner has a bit of a profile, so okay. I was like, you know what, I'm happy for you to be the peacock. I don't need to be I feel like the peacock in my own life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, also, the fact that me and you've told me that and I've believed it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, am I the peacock or is he?
Yeah.
And then you're going like, I'm accepting him being the peacock. It's absolutely fine. And like, now we've bought into the peacock.
We've bought into the peacock theory.
This is one person's opinion.
Someone's made it up.
And we're buying it.
Yeah, we're buying it. But I just think also the peacock can change. Like, I think I said to Keegan, I was like, you know what? When it's your thing and your event, you be the peacock and I'll just be chill. I'll be the pigeon. And when it's my event, I'm the peacock, you're the pigeon. But it was this one event. Friend that said it ages ago that stuck in my mind. But you're right, it's just one person that said the peacock-pigeon theory.
It's ridiculous, the peacock-pigeon theory. Like, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
And if you are enjoying this episode, like, please subscribe to the channel. Yeah. Leave us a review if you're listening and not watching. And any other parish notices, Joel?
No, just that we're going to Scotland very soon. Time is ticking. We're going with our viewers. So if you'd like to come to Scotland with us, there's a few places left.
Yes.
The link will be in the description of our YouTube video.
We've got loads of really exciting activities coming up and it's quite cool to be able to do a group trip with people that have been watching us and we have this relationship with and we're getting to meet you guys in real life.
We're going to be giving you a handwritten note each.
Oh, yeah.
And a hug.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. There's a few surprises. Maybe I'll do a little pub quiz as well.
Yeah.
We want to be the quiz masters, don't we? We want to read out the questions.
We'll do the quizzes.
Only think we should be reading out the questions because we're the worst people on a quiz team.
Yeah, we're terrible.
Terrible. Terrible.
And we said it could be partly a quiz of Joel and Leah history.
In what episode did we say the pigeon and the peacock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
No, for sure.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Like Leah said, please like, subscribe, do all the things, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time, guys.
Bye. Bye. Dee 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 dee.